Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. And now, celebrating 15 years of broadcasting, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, whether you're tuning in on the radio dial in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM or through WYADonline.com. We're glad you all could join us. Also, those tuning in through online affiliates around the world, we're glad you all could be with us as well. I'm actually broadcasting live today from Los Angeles. As you guys know, I'm here today for Cyrus Webb Presents, where I'll be doing in-person interviews. But I'm so excited to welcome to our program today Kara Coney. She's not only an Egyptologist, but also a UCLA professor. She also has been able to provide through National Geographic a great book of history for us. It's called When Women Ruled the World, Six Queens of Egypt. We're going to talk to Kara not only about what it's been like for her to share her own love of history, but also what it was like for her to share the lives of these six queens, what they were able to achieve, but also why many of us may not even be familiar with them. If you're just so hearing about the book, I'll let you know at the end of our segment how you can get your own copy of it. But Kara, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
The pleasure is definitely all mine. A lot of great information in this book, Kara, that we're going to get into. I want to begin, though, with what this has been like for you. You have written really a fascinating introduction to when women ruled the world, you know, with the counter of why women don't rule the world, looking at where we are today. What has it been like for you, Kara, to see the response to the book so far?
It's been great fun to be part of the larger political moment. I mean, as you said at the top of the show, I'm an Egyptologist. So it's a strange thing for somebody who does ancient history to involve herself with modern politics and to make these women who were political rulers from thousands of years ago as relevant as they ever were. So that's been not really a challenge, as much of a challenge as I thought, but certainly very enjoyable.
Right. One of the things that you write about in the introduction, and then, of course, as I said, you kind of go into the history of these six queens, Kara, but you talk about, you know, after the rule of one queen, that the female power lay dormant in Egypt for a thousand years. And the line that struck me I wanted to talk about was this: in a land where women had repeatedly risen to the top, achieving ever greater heights, Egypt fell to foreign empires, obstructing the female authority that kept the people of the Nile protected when everything fell apart. And what I think is so interesting about that line, Kara, and I'm sure you would agree, is that it shows that no matter what, you know, these queens achieved, they were not, for one, given the credit, but also it is almost as if what they did was overlooked and almost erased when it came to history and even with Egypt. Did that surprise you as you were doing your research for a book like this?
I think that many of the women listening to your radio program right now who have been in boardrooms and come up with brilliant ideas or who have had success and that credit was taken from them will know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that it's in many ways easier to take the credit from a successful woman rather than a woman who's a failure. So these women, I set them up. You know, you have Hatshepsut, whose name we cannot even pronounce, and Cleopatra, whose name just rolls off the tongue and about whom Shakespeare has written plays. One is a success and one is a failure. The one who was a success, Hatshepsut, had her names and images replaced and in large part replaced with the names of other men. So men were able to take credit for all of the amazing feats that she was able to achieve, whereas Cleopatra, we have these stories about her suicide and her abandonment of her children to their own fates, and that she did not leave Egypt better than she found it, as it was trampled by the Roman regime and brought in as a province. Her name we remember, and that's a very important theme of the book. Why do we celebrate female failure and ignore female success? It's a very important thing to think about.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Of course, one of the women that are in the book that, of course, our audience probably would be familiar with, Kara, would be Nefertiti, even though what we find out in your book is so much more than what we probably have heard. And I think, you know, again, that is, you know, we've all have heard, you know, that the more things change, the more they stay the same. What led you, as we both mentioned, you're an Egyptologist, what led you to want to explore history and to be able to share it?
Well, the part about me being an Egyptologist just, you know, I'm asked this question more than any other, and here you are asking me, and I have no answer for it. It's a question that an Egyptologist would never ask another Egyptologist, because we know it, there is no answer. And it's the strangest thing that I see the modern world around me better through the lens of the ancient world. And I cannot tell you why, but I have always been drawn to do this, and my social circumstances and I believe my gender allowed me to do it. My brother, it seemed, felt the pressure to have to become a lawyer, and I was able to go off into the more risky academic field. And I think my gender is part of that. So I was able to follow my heart in many ways and really look at our distrust, even our outright hostility towards females and power. And I want to use Egypt, which had so many female rulers, allowed so many, to ask why, to ask in this most unequal and authoritarian of regimes, why did women come to power so often there? Why were they pushed back? Why were they so often erased? How did this system work?
I think that's it. I think that is the great thing about this book, about what National Geographic consistently does, is kind of peel back history for us, Tara, and allows us to be able to explore it this way. Did it just feel like a natural fit for you to work with National Geographic on a project like this?
It actually does. My first trade book was with a different publishing house, and National Geographic really understands what it is that I do. You know, I'm no auteur. I can turn a phrase, to be sure, but I'm an archaeologist, a social historian. I'm trying to crack human systems, and National Geographic, you know, understands that part of my persona. So it's an excellent place for me to land. I feel understood in a sense.
You know, there's one more thing I want to ask you about. I mentioned Nefertiti, and again, I definitely invite people to get this book, When Women Ruled the World, Six Queens of Egypt, because if you think you have heard about these six women, these six queens that Kara tells us about, I think you would be surprised. One of the things that even in your circle, though, that you mentioned in the book about Nefertiti is that there is still argument among, you know, other Egyptologists as to what she did, who she was, and if history was talking about her right when it comes to some of the things that were achieved.
The arguments get quite fierce when it comes to Nefertiti. And, I mean, we can come down to the bare fact that most of the public today just sees her as a pretty face. But Egyptologists have been working to try to figure out what it was she morphed into, what her power became, because there is a lot of information that suggests she was co-king alongside her husband, the king Akhenaten, who created these strange religious experiments, and that she may even have ruled as soul king after his death. It's with the idea of her being soul king, king on her own, the one left holding the bag, the one having to put everything back together after her husband's crazy religious changes. That's the part that really excites Egyptologists and makes them start to fight with each other at the bars at the conference.
Well, that must be a lot of fun. And I think there will be really, you know, some amazing conversations that take place. Is that your hope, you know, Kara, as people learn about this book, that they're able to take the time to read it, to be able to do their own research, and then to be able to share that with other people?
Here's my interest. If we are all of us, all human beings, inherently racist biologically, and that is something that we can transcend through education, then I do also believe that all of us human beings are in many ways inherently sexist, even misogynist. Mm. And yet we can transcend that through conversation. But it's something we don't talk about. We don't talk about our distrust or hostility toward female power directly, and why even females distrust other females in power. And I hope that these six women from ancient Egypt can reach out from the past, embrace us, help us to see what it is that we have, what problems we have with female power, so that we can embrace the female emotionality for what may be the only thing that gets us through the 21st century intact.
Wow, that's powerful. And Kara, really appreciate this conversation. Appreciate this. Again, everyone, Kara Coney has been our guest, Egyptologist and UCLA professor. The book is called When Women Rule the World, Six Queens of Egypt, published by National Geographic. You guys have to get this book. You're going to really enjoy it. I learned so much, things that individuals I thought I knew about Kara, learning so much about them that, of course, you know, kind of goes beyond the surface, and really appreciate you coming by to tell us about it.
Oh, thank you so much.
I appreciate that. And we appreciate your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Kara. Don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media site. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. If you click on the link there, you can listen to the show completely for free and share with your friends from there, too. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music, as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Let's make it a great one.